All right, welcome to the podcast. I am Pia Muhlenbeck. I'm here with Kane.
Good evening.
And this is Wine Time, the show where we crack open a bottle of bubbly and suggest you do the same.
Usually I would say wait till you get home before opening that bottle of wine, but I know you are all at home already being good citizens of the planet, so let's get drinking.
And join us as we chat through the week that was.
So we have some very good news today, Pia.
We do.
We finally have a show sponsor.
Yes.
Who has come through with alcohol.
We finally have wine for Wine Time.
So what are we drinking today?
So today we are drinking Pepper Jack. It's a really beautiful Shiraz from 2017 from the Barossa Valley.
We're actually trying this wine thanks to our show sponsor today, Parker's Cellar. Parker's Cellar offer an unparalleled curated selection of the finest wines along with free delivery in Australia. So if you are on lockdown and you want some of Australia's top wines delivered directly to your door, head to www.parkerscellar.com.au. That's www.parkerscellar.com.au.
Nice.
Now, I want to interrupt the podcast before we get started because today, aliens have been confirmed.
Aliens or UFOs?
I mean, same thing, right?
Identified flying objects.
Not identified, unidentified.
Oh, yeah. Unidentified flying objects.
Yeah, so you know you're living in a really weird timeline universe when the US government released, I think, 3 bits of footage showing aliens and no one really cares.
Yeah,
like,
why?
We've had such a crazy 2020 that the announcement of aliens coming to planet Earth is just not even important.
Like, we're just expecting this of 2020 at this point.
Like, did it
we're
even,
like, what? Okay, that's the next month's thing we're dealing with.
Did it even make the news?
I don't think so. Is it? Because honestly, I've not seen a lot of this. So are you sure?
100%. I've done some.
Who released this?
The Pentagon.
And what have they released?
Footage of unidentified flying objects defying physics.
Really?
So like, it's not like, oh, is that a sparrow? Or, oh, is that a, you know, a plane that no one's seen before?
Could it be a drone? Could it be you on the drone?
I mean, I wouldn't put it past myself, but no, because this is footage that has been declassified because it's over 25 years old. So in America, I think that's the way they do things. Like, they keep trade secrets and government secrets until it's no longer important. Then they release it out.
Why release it now?
Well, so this is where my conspiracy hat comes in, right?
Uh-huh.
Hang on, I need to put the music on for this because, oh, hang on, wrong one. This is the music. Okay. We're going straight into conspiracy. I love this. This is the best podcast ever.
Well, this
ever.
Is not really a conspiracy anymore. It's like, it's just a theory
now.
Oh
yeah, we can scrub the music then. You're right. It's not a conspiracy. This is actual fact. The government in America have released footage of unidentified flying objects. Now, if you have listened to the podcast for a while, you'll know that I have told my story of how I saw an unidentified flying object and Pia just laughed at me for the whole time. Now, I feel that maybe I should get an apology.
I'm so sorry, my darling.
I feel that's very, what's it called when you don't really...
No, I always kind of believed you, but it's just so weird, like, watching your grown husband tell a group of people that he's, like, had an alien encounter, and I watch our group of friends when you're explaining this story and I just see everyone going, I'm starting to doubt his sanity.
So this is strange. I saw this on The Verge this week. AMC Theatres, which is like the big theatre chain, one of the biggest in America, are no longer going to play Universal Pictures movies.
Yeah, none of them, right?
They're done. Yeah. Which is crazy.
So how did that come about? I read something about the Trolls movie going direct to digital and surpassing theatres.
Yeah, so I think what's happened is obviously because people can't go to theatres right now, like cinemas.
Yeah.
Universal have said, well, look, Trolls is a relevant movie for kids at home. Like, release this movie via video on demand. I don't know what platform they went with in the end, but video on demand.
Yeah.
And then if you do that, the kids that are driving their parents crazy right now have new content to watch. And apparently that was like a game changer for parents because every parent bought it.
Yeah, and they did super well, right? They did $100 million in revenue.
Which I think is probably more than they would have expected to get in the opening day.
Yeah, right.
I don't know about opening weekend, but definitely opening day. Mm. That's a solid performance.
Was that in a day?
I think so.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot.
I mean, it would make sense, right? They've sold 5 million copies, which I can't imagine that 5 million people would go to the movies. on any one day in America.
I think worldwide, but I think people's habits are slightly changing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, for a long time, if you wanted to see a new release movie, it was only available at the cinemas. Everyone flocked to the cinemas because they wanted to see the brand new release that had all the hype behind it.
Mm.
But if the production houses are releasing things directly to on demand in people's living rooms, then maybe this is a little bit of a shift in people's habits, because now it feels like going to the movies is like a special occasion, right? Like going to the cinema is almost like, oh, you want to have a little outing, you want to catch up with some friends and you want to go out and about and do something. But if you actually just want to watch a movie, it's kind of comfortable to do that from your couch as well.
See, this is the weird thing, because I'm a big fan of sitting on my own couch and eating my own food. And if I want to pause the movie and make some toast, I can do that. If I want to, you know, go to the bathroom, I can pause it. And like the ability to pause content in a 2 to 3 hour experience is actually really beneficial. However, I love going to the cinema.
Yes.
There's something so special about it.
Do you know what it is? It's nostalgia.
Maybe.
There's something about it that feels kind of romantic and feels like a little social sort of thing, because we all did it growing up. And I think kids still have that same feeling.
I mean, it's an adventure as well. Whilst this Trolls experiment went well, parents want that excuse to leave the house and take their kids somewhere as well. So whilst I think this is a very interesting situation and probably a little bit short-sighted for AMC to you know, have a beef with Universal.
No, but do you know, so I don't think we've actually explained what happened. So because Trolls World did so well going directly to on demand, the CEO said, oh, listen, we're going to maybe look at doing this with a few more of our movies in the future, like surpassing the theater release.
Yeah.
And so then AMC's CEO like clapped back hard. He said, okay, well, in that case, we are never going to show any Universal Pictures again.
I mean, that really is cutting off your nose to spite your face, because with Universal accounts for a fair chunk of movies.
Yeah.
If Universal do that and then another studio like Warner Brothers goes, well, hang on a minute, Universal had a fair bit of success, maybe we'll release a DC movie into video on demand straight away.
Yeah.
And then obviously Disney have got their digital play.
Yeah.
Potentially the movie theaters could be defunct, but
I think it's such a risky move from AMC, because I get what they're trying to do. Like on the one hand, he's gone, okay, well, I want to nip this trend in the bud immediately and say, well, in that case, if you guys are going to surpass us, we're not going to work with Universal anymore. In which case, what will happen, what he's hoping happens, is Universal's next few movies don't exceed their expectations.
Yeah, that's right.
Like they've got the next Fast and Furious movie lined up, ready to go, which is supposed to air in theaters, and now it won't.
And that's a huge franchise.
Yeah,
that,
right?
That makes like, I think it makes $1 billion.
It's expected to make $1 billion. And so if it doesn't, because it's gone directly to on demand, then obviously, you know, Universal will look like they've made a mistake by doing this.
So the only reason I think it won't make $1 billion is this. If you, me, I don't know, Harry and Tal go to the movies, that's 4 tickets.
Yes.
4 tickets, right?
On average, what, $18 or something?
Well, that's if we get the cheap seats.
Yeah.
Don't forget, movie theatres have expanded out. They've now got, in Australia, we've got a thing called Gold Class. And like it's
bougie.
A big couch seat that automatically reclines when you sit in it. You get a table. You also get like a menu. You can order food directly to your seat.
It's like first class on a flight, except in cinemas.
I am obsessed with it.
Yeah.
It is the only thing nicer than my own couch at home. I've been in a movie about 6 months ago and I ordered mac and cheese.
Oh, how good.
And they brought it to me with a beer. Like that is phenomenal. So my point being, that ticket price is obviously a lot higher. I don't know what it sits at, but I think it's like,
it's pretty, I'm not sure exactly, but I think it's like around the $50, $60 mark.
I think it's 60.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I probably should have researched that. But $60 times 4 people is $240.
Yeah.
If I order, say, for example, the Fast and the Furious movie, the next one, F9, on my Apple TV, it's $24.
Yes.
And I could potentially fill my house. We've got 4 seats here.
You can invite all your friends over. Yeah.
So for the cost difference is $24 versus $240. It is not, I don't think there's a long-term play in dropping cinemas entirely, because when a movie's big, it fills out.
Yeah.
The whole cinema. I've been in, even in the last 12 months, we've been to movies where theaters 1 through 8 are all showing the same blockbuster, and they're all full.
Yeah.
You can't get that if you're – because if you're doing it at home on video on demand, I'm going to invite 25 friends over, pay for the one-time rental, and we'll all watch it, and they're going to make no money. And if there isn't money put back into the studios, we're not getting any good films next year.
That's right.
So it is this cycle that has to operate and stay fluid.
I know. I'm afraid that cinemas are becoming a little bit of like the middleman, because so many people are so used to on demand and, you know, have made their like sofa experience kind of nice. But I don't want it to.
No, I don't.
I also feel like, imagine if you have a family, having them sitting around like at home watching a movie is one thing.
Yeah.
They'll probably still be loud and distracted and all that. But going somewhere out in public that's like dark and you can't talk, you can't check your phone, you can't do anything like that because there are other people around you to be respectful with. I feel like if you have like young kids, it's probably quite a nice break for the parents, you know. But it's an interesting move. It's kind of sad in a way to see that Universal and AMC, because AMC is literally the biggest theater company in the USA. So, and Universal is a huge production company. So the two of them parting ways is pretty significant.
Speaking of world-class superstars in the movies, Disney sponsored me.
Yeah!
If you follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I have been sponsored by Disney.
Yes.
And I think it was the best Disney content I've ever created.
Kane's been hinting for this in our vlogs, in our podcast, in all sorts of things. If you've like watched any of our recent content. And then they actually sponsored him.
So if you haven't seen it, it was really quite cool. We did some magic.
Yes. It was for May the 4th.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, sorry. It was Disney, but it was also Disney owned Star Wars. So it was a Star Wars job that I did on my Instagram. We did a little bit of cool editing to make it look like we had the Force, and I used magic to magic out some popcorn. And thank you guys. I don't know if you guys tagged me or if me tagging Disney incessantly got me the job, or maybe I've just got a really good manager. Probably the latter.
All of the above.
No, I reckon it's just Grace.
Yeah, it's probably just Grace.
Grace has probably been talking to them for like 3 years straight.
You think it's all you? Like killing it?
But we're going to blame the universe and say, thank you, universe.
Yes.
I'm now an official Disney
partner.
Well, let's not
ambassador.
Go
face of.
Definitely don't think I'm the face of Disney. But it was a great week. And in this downturn where we haven't had much work, you know, like no one has got a lot of work, it was really nice, really refreshing, and very cool to work with Star Wars. So,
also something we could do from home. So that's a big bonus.
It's been a great week. I must admit, my favorite week of the year so far. It's crazy. In January, I was kind of freaking out, like early January, because there were memes going around on Twitter talking about World War III coming. And I was like, oh no, I hope there isn't World War III coming.
Mm.
And then that turned out to be literally the smallest problem of 2020.
Yeah, I know. I know. It just keeps going. It seems so weirdly apocalyptic right now.
So do you remember in December when I got super, super sick?
Yes.
Like we're talking to the level where, I don't know if you saw my Instagram, I actually had to call the ambulance, or Pia called the ambulance. Mm. I got put on an IV. I was really, really bad.
With gastro.
Well, we thought it was gastro. We're not sure. Now they're saying that there are random cases of the coronavirus that have popped up as early as October overseas. So this whole thing that coronavirus came out like mid-December in China is maybe a little bit untrue. Maybe
really?
It came out a bit earlier, because they've got cases in Italy and New York that were like late December.
And just no one knew about it.
I was so sick in December that I couldn't get to like Pia's family Christmas. And we've done that every year for 10 years. And I was so, so ill.
Mm.
We had to call the ambulance. They came over. They looked after me. Pia then jetted off to go to her.
Don't make me sound like a bad wife. I was here the whole time, just like a few hours.
No,
I was gone.
No. I'm not saying it's bad.
Pia jetted off.
Pia left
me
alone.
See ya. Good luck. It's been real.
Pia was like, well, if he's going to go, I'm going to Christmas. No, Pia went to her family's, which I asked her to, because I didn't want to be the bad husband that kind of stopped her seeing her family for the year. And I was so sick for like 7 days after that. She came back the same day, by the way. Like, she's looking at me like, you're making me look like a bad person.
I literally nursed him for like 8 days straight, and I was gone for like 10 hours maybe. While he was in a very stable and fine condition, he may have just been throwing up a little bit.
I mean, a lot. I think I need to get one of those antibody tests so I can see if I've had the coronavirus and if I'm immune. Well, not immune, because obviously I got sick, but like, if I've built up the antibodies against it.
To be quite honest, I think it's pretty doubtful that you had it, because I feel like if Australia had cases that early on, it would have just exploded a lot more than it has here. And we've actually been able to contain it well.
Maybe.
So like, today is May 8th.
Yes.
And we just had a press conference from our Prime Minister today talking about how to lift all of the restrictions. And basically they're now talking about like a three-step plan on starting to remove all of the business and social restrictions. And some of them even lifted today. Do you know what they are?
Yeah, I do. But they haven't been lifted yet. They've been announced that this is the phase one. It is down to each state, similar to America.
Oh, I see.
The Prime Minister can say something, but it is down to each state to make those decisions. So, for example, in the north of Australia, Northern Territory, I think they've had like less than double digits of cases.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's ridiculous to tell them to stay at home, because they're so isolated. It's such a crazy country, Australia. Mm. Like, it really is like you see in the movies. In some places, that in NT, which is the Northern Territory, of course you can't say to everyone stay at home when three people got sick or something.
And also, like, you're causing more harm to everybody by closing their businesses, you know, getting rid of everyone's income, that sort of thing. Like, exactly. People need their livelihoods. People need the economy to be open. So if there's no serious health risk, there's no reason to stay on lockdown.
Yeah, so basically in the same way that in a kind of a staged approach, Australia shut down, and I think a lot of countries did it in the same staged way, we're now opening up in the same way. So step one, I think we're allowed to gather in groups of up to 10 now.
Is that now?
Well, not officially. That is the
recommendation.
The recommendation. But again, we have to wait probably till Monday for our state to make that announcement. But that's what's going to happen.
Mm.
So right now, two people can go see two people.
In their dwelling, in a house?
Yeah, now I think five people can go and see another five or something like that. I don't know exactly how it works.
Yeah, I saw here that step one is non-work gatherings of up to 10 people in public.
Yeah, which is in public.
And you can have up to five visitors in your home.
I've never had five visitors in my home in my whole life. So
yes, you have. Well, we've thrown ragers in this apartment.
No, we definitely haven't. I know that they're also putting kids back in school, and playgrounds are opening.
They? Okay, that's good.
I didn't realize it was such a big thing until you start to, like, when we walk our dog, I see the playgrounds and they've got like all this red rope around them, like kind of the caution tape.
Mm.
And it's quite depressing to see, because like a children's playground is quite a... it offers a little bit of hope, right?
I know, but don't you think children's playgrounds, when they're like empty and in the night,
oh, they're creepy.
So creepy.
They're super
like
creepy.
When the swing creaking. It's eerie.
When there's caution tape around it as well saying, don't walk in here. It's I am not coming in. Don't worry. Really not good. The one thing that I do think is really good, swimming pools are reopening at some point next week.
Oh, that's a big benefit for you.
Well, you know, I have been...
That's what you've been hoping for.
I've been very upset that I haven't had to show my swim progress to the Pika crew.
Progress?
Well, I bought a rubber ring. So I am now able to do that. So we're trying to support our friends right now in every way we can. So in today's podcast, we're actually going to include two songs by two of my friends who live like within a kilometer of my house. So the first one we're going to play now is by my friend Aaron. He goes under the name of Third Floor, and this song is called Little Pieces. I hope you like it.
I've given a million little pieces, held on to the greatest parts. We had dreams, but every night was sleepless. I never meant to break your heart. And you found someone true.
a pretty interesting situation developing with New Zealand and Australia as well at the moment.
Yes. We're basically joining forces, right?
Well, I don't know if it's 100% confirmed, but Jacinda Ardern, who is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, she's done a really good job of like killing the virus pretty much across the whole country.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about New Zealand, you'll know that it's mainly funded by tourism.
Mm.
Now, one thing I didn't know about Australia is that we get 1.6 billion or million, I don't know.
Million
people from China. Yeah, definitely not billion.
You idiot.
That's more than the people in China. Everyone comes to Australia.
There's like 24 million people in Australia, but 1.6 billion Chinese visit every year.
Hey, it's called wine time, all right? At some point in the podcast, everything goes screwy. What's going to happen is we're going to create this kind of small bubble of tourism freedom.
Yes.
Whereby,
like the Tasman bubble, right?
Yeah. So obviously there's no way we could go to Bali right now. No way anyone from Bali could come to Australia.
Yeah.
Which is...
Same with Europe, America, yeah. Middle East, anywhere really.
So we have two options. We can either go to New Zealand, which is an amazing place, or we can explore Australia.
Yeah.
Which is literally such an amazing place that people often spend 1 or 2 years coming to Australia and just exploring this country.
I know.
That's both, what I did.
Honestly, both options are incredible. I was gobsmacked earlier this year when we visited New Zealand for the first time this year.
Last year,
2019.
But and we did went it three times.
Three times in 2019 just because we fell in love with it so much. Honestly, it looks exactly like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it looks like the movies.
It looks like the Shire in Lord of the Rings. Just like this beautiful haven of like rolling green hills and little tiny huts.
Well, there are real houses as well.
And elves.
No. And there's hobbits everywhere. It's really weird.
The hobbit population is really friendly.
We might actually kind of be in this situation where we can like, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine.
Mm.
The hospitality industry has been hit so hard.
Yeah, I know, big time.
Like bars, clubs, restaurants, hotels, right?
Mm.
If we can do anything mutually to kind of bring that back, that's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what's going to happen this year. This year is going to be about
neighborly love.
Yeah, absolutely. Self-care, neighborly love. Let's get sorted. And then next year we'll talk about going overseas again.
But do you know what I saw?
What?
That Sicily are actually planning on covering people's expenses if they travel there as soon as like the travel restrictions open in order to reinvigorate their tourism industry. They're looking at covering a third of some people's hotel expenses and half of their airfares.
Wow.
That's like a pretty big kickback. If you're if you want to go travel to Europe and go, you know, stay in Sicily. First of all, Sicily is the dreamiest looking place ever. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But if you go there, they're actually going to like cover some of your hotel and airfare expenses.
I mean, it makes sense because I, you know, just working in the tourism industry now for the last, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah.
I know how much tourism boards in various countries spend, not just with influencers, but also just with standard above the line advertising.
Yeah.
So I guess what they're going to do is just not run any traditional advertising and just say, hey, look, if you want to come, we'll cover half your cost.
Oh my gosh, you're totally right. Because you know what? They'll get so many articles written about this.
Exactly.
They'll get the media coverage anyway. Yeah.
They'll get media coverage for free.
Yeah, because people are... I'm looking at an article that says, Sicily to pay for people to holiday there in a post-COVID world.
And let me tell
you, they're not actually paying you. They're just covering some of your expenses.
Well,
but like if that's the spin that they're taking for their like, you know, their little media coverage, they're going to get so many articles and everyone's going to flock there.
It's absolutely brilliant.
It's genius.
Also, the other thing is if any country said that they wanted to pay, in inverted commas, pay me, but you know, cover my costs to go on a holiday.
Yeah.
I am going to post about that like crazy.
Absolutely.
You know, if you got to think.
I mean, we're talking about it now.
Yeah, and we're not even going to Sicily.
No, we just saw an article about it. But it's an interesting and very cool, you know, way to use their budget. They've got a tourism budget. How are they going to reinvigorate their tourism industry? All right, we'll just cover some of your expenses. Let's go.
You've got to think, right, with these sort of things, it's all about cost of customer acquisition.
Yes.
So if the cost, and like with a car insurance company, for example, the cost of customer acquisition is super high. It's a lot of money to convince a random person to look at this destination, then decide to spend $5,000 to $10,000 going there.
Yeah.
Right? It's expensive.
And there's a lot of competition. There are so many beautiful
absolutely.
Places.
Absolutely. You know, if you think Sicily is beautiful, well, hang on a minute, Ibiza's cheaper. Maybe I go to Ibiza instead. Or,
you
know,
Mykonos or Positano.
So,
yeah.
So for them to cover this cost, this is going to bring them so much business. Mm. I think it's great. I think it's really genius. What we're trying to do is work out with Australia specifically how we can do the biggest road trip ever. We've got a group of influencers who are typically travel influencers at heart. Mm. And we've got this route planned, and we're just trying to finalize a few bits with a few tourism boards, and then we're going to go on the biggest adventure ever.
Yeah, we just have to wait for the state borders to open up because we're obviously going to cross states.
But I think that'll be before July, August.
But we've spoken about this a few times, especially after the bushfires that happened in Australia earlier this year. Mm. And like, to be quite honest, I don't think Ken and I have actually explored where we live enough. Like, we always tend to, in the winter here, go and do Europe and summer and stuff like that. We kind of chase the sun a little bit. But I think this year is the time to really just travel locally, explore this incredible country, and probably hop over to New Zealand as well.
Yeah.
But we have so many cool things planned, and we're going to go visit a whole bunch of other, like, you know, creators and stuff along the way. So it's going to be, I don't know, I think it's going to be really cool.
I think it's going to be great.
It's going to definitely be the sort of experience that I've never had.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be nice because a lot of people from outside of Australia are going to want to follow along this journey.
Yeah.
I'm viewing it as an initiative, like a kind of getting Australia going, really exploring full living environments and experiences, or gag reflex for short.
No, we are not using an acronym. Wait, what did you write? Getting Australia going, really exploring full living environments and experience?
Or gag reflex.
You just had to knock the E off experiences.
Yeah. I had to make it work.
Experiences.
I think it was good.
You can't call this gag reflex.
All right, well, we can shorten it to just getting Australia going, or gag.
No, we are not doing that. So it is normally time for question time right now, but somebody forgot to ask anyone questions.
Oh yeah, that was me. Sorry.
So we just quickly paused the podcast for 2 seconds and did a quick story on my Instagram, and questions are already rolling in. So thank goodness we have some questions.
We do. So the first question that came in, which I'm going to read you now, says, how is your house hunting going?
We found 2 places that we absolutely love.
No, we found like 15 places that I love. Pia has found 2 that reach her standard.
Well, it's got to be aesthetically pleasing, babe. So we're still on the hunt. We will update you guys on the vlog as well, just to make sure you're all across it. But yeah, unfortunately, we've been unsuccessful at the moment. Yeah. There hasn't really been anything that that has ticked all the boxes. Do you know the other place that really blew my mind?
Mm.
Sweden.
Yeah, I love Sweden.
Oh, Sweden was so awesome.
Yeah.
Kane and I went on a trip to Sweden a couple of years ago, like 3 years ago or something.
3-4 years ago.
And we had such a great time there. And I just didn't really think of it that much. Like I didn't know what to expect, but the amount I loved it definitely exceeded what my expectations were.
You know what made it really good? We were with Marta.
Yeah.
Who still to this day is one of our best friends.
Yeah. They organized all these really fun things for us to do. Like we went to like this party that was like under a bridge.
Yeah.
Do you remember that like club that was like under this bridge, and it was like every room had a different vibe.
So
and
apparently that is a thing in Sweden they do. So it was a bridge under a freeway.
Yeah.
And they've built this kind of it almost looks like a shelter.
Yeah, it was like a huge venue, but
it's a club.
Yeah.
Like, and everyone it's where the cool kids go. And I must admit, I thought that was the coolest thing I've ever done in my whole life.
But it was such a crazy experience because you would walk from one room to the next, and in one room it'd be like R&B and the next one would be like deep house.
So you could
like choose your own adventure in this one venue. It was really, really cool.
When I came to Australia as a creative director, graphic designer, I actually had to apply for my visa as a painter.
Okay, how'd you do that?
Well, I got my mum to get some pictures of the paintings that I did when I was at school. You can't kick me out now because I'm here and I've got it. But that's how I did it.
With your like high school pictures.
The photos of the paintings that I showed to my visa agent when I was like 11.
Mm.
And I moved into Australia in my 20s. All right, the second song we're going to play in this podcast is by Harry. If you follow us on YouTube, you would have seen him in the last vlog, I think. This song is called Harriet Tubman. What is the best thing that has ever happened to you except for marriage? I know this answer.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, lots of good things have happened to us, but I would probably say that one of the best things that ever happened to us was us adopting our dog, Muesli.
Yes.
I don't know why, but we're in such a little love bubble right now because we're at home all the time and we're just like loving our little family. But she is just the most amazing little thing. And I just, yeah, I don't know. I think it's our dog.
I think that people that don't have a dog in their family think we're mental.
Yeah, I think
but I'm
so
pretty
too.
Certain everyone that has a dog completely is like, right now they're going, yep, I get that. I get that.
It's just unconditional love and it goes both ways. And they have such characters. I never knew until I had a dog how much personality and character like little animals have.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's so crazy. And my whole attitude towards like every animal species is just so warm now because I know exactly what they're feeling. And I don't know. It's going to be our dog.
Oh, time is up, and that's where we're going to end today's episode of Wine Time. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you're subscribed and have hit that 5-star rating on this episode. Every little bit helps, so we really appreciate that. If you fancy keeping up with our antics outside of this podcast, you can always follow us on Instagram. The links are in this description, or you can check out our YouTube channel where we post at least 2 videos a week. If you'd like to check out our website, which has heaps of posts, as well as all our photo and video presets, head over to caneandpia.com. That's www.caneandpia.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one. We'll be right back.